He said, God, why are you doing this? We're supposed to be the chosen people. And look, you're putting us into captivity. Why are you doing this? Why do you dislike us so? And Jeremiah could not understand what God was doing. But you know, now that we look back, we see that God had taken Israel into bondage and then would bring them back as a people of God, and things would change. But sometimes God has to tear us down so that he can build us back up.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Have you ever bought something from the store, maybe a bicycle or a piece of furniture, and it says on the box, some assembly required? Well, that's how it was with us as new believers. God looked at us and said, some assembly required. We are all a work in progress. In a moment, a message from Pastor Wayne entitled, Some Assembly Required. But first, here are the New Hope singers.
Our God over all, our future is in you. All fear and all doubt are lost in your presence. When all else fades away, your promise
Now, here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Some Assembly Required.
Today we want to talk about Jeremiah, but before, let's talk a little bit about how God works with us. I didn't know what was going on at the time. I heard this yell for help. Help! Somebody please help! We were at a horse competition up in Washington, and I was in our horse trailer, and I just had a t-shirt on. It was about 50 degrees outside, but I jumped out and ran around only to find that a horse had tumbled over somehow and his feet were caught in a fence, a wire fence, and thrashing around. And the more it thrashed, the more it would hurt itself. And it was getting so fatigued that, and it was hurting and hurting itself more and more. And the owner was just crying, saying, what do I do? What do I do? And by this time, a bunch of people had gathered around. And one man said, we gotta cover the horse's eyes because seeing what's going on, it's getting more and more afraid. And so I said, well, what are we going to do? He said, give me your shirt. I said, my shirt? He said, yeah, just take your shirt off. I said, it's 50 degrees. He said, we got to blind that horse. We got to cover his eyes. I said, my shirt won't fit him. I know it won't fit him. It's just too small. He said, no. We got to cover his eyes so he won't see what you're doing. I said, see what I'm doing? If I take off my shirt, all these people will put it on Facebook. The world will see what I'm doing. He said, no, give it to me. So I whipped my shirt off, and I could hear people start to gag and cough and throw up, taking pictures. And I'm sure it wasn't for Facebook. It was for Oregon Livestock magazine. But so they covered this horse's eyes and handed me these clippers. And so we started working on the fence and trying to get his feet uncluttered and so that he can move. And it was just tangled. And if you've ever seen a horse's hind legs and their hooves, when you're having to try to pull his feet out of a fence, you know, one kick and you're in heaven. And so it depends if you've received Lord or not. But I thought, man, this is just really freaky. This is dangerous. But, you know, as soon as they blinded the horse, as it were, the horse had to put its trust in me. Whatever is going on, it had to just trust. Before, it was seeing things and it was getting afraid. But once the eyes were covered, it's like, I've got to trust because I have no idea. I have no control over this. I have to let them do this. And so we finally got his feet untangled. And you lift one of those big things over and then another one, all the while praying, Lord, don't let him kick. Don't let him have a knee-jerk reaction, a spasm or anything. And then it took us maybe four or five of us to kind of usher this horse to get on its feet again. And when it was all done, it was like the Lord just spoke to me. And it's like he said, sometimes, Wayne, that's what I have to do to get you to trust me. I have to blind you a little bit so you won't know what's going on. You won't have any control. But the only way that you'll stay out of my way so I can get you untangled is I've got to let you just sort of be blinded because that's the only way that you'll trust me. Sometimes the only way that we know that Jesus is all we need is when we come to a point when Jesus is all we got. And we can't understand what's going on. And we realize we have no control. And that's when the Lord says, you just have to trust me. And he did that with Abraham. In fact, in the Old Testament, God was going to do some things in his life, and he needed Abraham to stay out of the way. And so it even says this. It says, shall we hide from Abraham what we are about to do? God is speaking. I remember when Paul the apostle, before he was Paul, it was Saul, and the Lord blinded him on the road to Damascus to sort of like, stay out of my way. I'm going to do something in your future. You won't know. But I need you just to trust me. And so he had to have someone lead him by the hand. I mean, just feel that helplessness. And he did that with Jeremiah. All the way back, we're going to rewind the tape to 586 BC. The nation of Israel was about to go into bondage, into the Babylonian captivity. Nebuchadnezzar was the king from north. He set a siege around Jerusalem. And Jeremiah began to warn the people to turn back to God, and they would not only not listen, to his warning. They didn't receive his message. But not only did they not receive his message, they began to beat the messenger. They threw him in prison. And if that wasn't enough, they threw him in a cistern in a well. It's at that point he could see nothing. He was blinded. And he had a disappointment with God. He said, God, why are you doing this? We're supposed to be the chosen people. And look, you're putting us into captivity. Why are you doing this? Why do you dislike us so? And Jeremiah could not understand what God was doing. But you know, now that we look back, we see that God had taken Israel into bondage and then would bring them back as a people of God. And things would change. Out of that, you'd hear about Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel would come out of this. And then you'd have Esther. You have all of these amazing heroes of the faith. But sometimes God has to tear us down so that he can build us back up. But at that moment, we have no idea. It's like he's got the spiritual t-shirt on our eyes. We have no idea what's going on. And Jeremiah was right there. And so he was having a disappointment with God before he had an appointment with God. So in his disappointment, he said, why, God? Why are you doing this? And God then speaks to him. And it's interesting. It'll be at the top of your notes if you'll take out your notes. And you'll read this first part with me. But let me read this one. It says, for this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. He said, go down to the potter's house and there I will give you my message. And I paused there and I thought, wait a minute. God, you're talking face to face with Jeremiah because he's got a disappointment with God. He's mad. He's upset. He's confused, disenchanted. We've all been there, haven't we? An application you sent in wasn't accepted. You had a dream that was dashed, a promotion that was denied. You have people rejecting your friendship. Maybe a hope that you had for a relationship had been taken away. Maybe a health setback that left you incapacitated for months at a time. Or maybe a financial setback. And you were like, I have no idea what's going on. I can't see. And the Lord is saying, you just got to trust. Because right now, you have no control. And maybe the only time you'll trust me is when you have no control. And now you got to learn to trust. And it's then that his disappointment with God is about to turn into an appointment with God, a divine appointment. But he says to Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house and there I'll announce my words to you. And I said, Lord, you're talking to him right now, right? Yeah. Why don't you just tell him what your announcement is, what you need to tell him? How come you're saying go down to the potter's house? You just tell him. And then I understood, because you see, when Jeremiah went to the potter's house, when he entered in, he saw a potter with clay, wet clay on his hands, molding something on a wheel that was spinning. He would smell the clay, still wet. He would see shards of pottery on the ground. He'd see some vessels drying, maybe smelling the kiln that was burning in the back room to heat up some of the pottery. He would see all of this in the environment, made his senses come alive. And then God would speak to him and it impacted him. You know, there's going to be times during the week where you're going to have an appointment with God or maybe a disappointment. And God's going to say, go down to the potter's house. And for many of us, this may be your potter's house. We're in the midst of worship, midst of friends, and maybe a sketch or a song is sung or something done or something said, all of a sudden your senses come alive and God's word begins to impact you like never before. Never underestimate the power of the potter's house. And God would bring us here. And that's exactly what he did at this time with Jeremiah. Now, if you would take out your notes and read with me right at the top of our notes, we'll find out what happens. Would you read it? Go. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something on the wheel. But the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the hands of the potter, so he remade it into another vessel. Remember that. He remade it into another vessel as it pleased the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Can I not deal with you as this potter does?" declares the Lord. "Behold, like the clay in the hand, or the potter's hand, so are you in my hand." He said, "Jeremiah, you're like clay, and I'm the potter. And I'm going to have to sometimes tear you down or spoil you, as it were, in order to bring you back up and build you up." You see, sometimes the potter will be spinning that clay on the wheel, and in the midst of the spin, he'll feel something hard. It might be a piece of hardened clay, and he stops the wheel, and he has to pick that hardened clay out and flick it onto the ground. And now what does he have to do? He's got to push this all the way back down and then rebuild it again. But even the pushing back down is a part of the building up. It's all of the same purpose. Although we hate the pushing down part, we hate the tearing down part. But see, there's times where God's going to be spinning me on his wheel, and he's going to find a little hardened piece of my heart that's been cutting, it's been hurting relationships, my future, my life. And he's going to just stop the world, as it were. And he's going to pull that out. Is that easy? Is it fun? Oh, no, no, no. It's painful. And then he's going to push us all the way back down again. And we think we're going backwards, when in actuality, we're not. We're still going forward. Even when God is pushing you down, you are going forward. Why? Because he's the potter and we're the clay. Some time ago, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I like this portion right here. Thank you. These are the Baptists, and okay, all right. Please remember that. This is the Pentecostal section, right? But some time ago, I was riding my motorcycle up Beartooth Pass out of Montana, and there was a very steep incline, and there's not a road that goes straight up. Actually, there's switchbacks. Back and forth, back and forth. And as we're going maybe a mile, we turn on a hairpin curve, and then we go back the other way, and we go back the other way, and then we cut back and a switch back and forth. And I'm thinking, we're never getting anywhere. I'm going backwards and then forwards and then backwards again. But little did I know, if you look at it from a 32,000 foot level, you are going up the hill. But you see, when I'm going backwards, I'm thinking, oh, but really, I'm still going forward when I'm going backwards. And you can't have, if you had it straight up the hill, the machine wouldn't have the power to do that. We wouldn't be able to do that. So this is the way to do it. And sometimes God knows your capacity. And he says, we're just going to kind of move you down, creating another vessel as I please. You got to trust me on this. And we don't like it when God pushes us back down. We don't like it when God finds a little hardened piece of our heart and has to remove it and push us back down. But later on, you know what? He said, "Jeremiah, I'm going to do the same thing with Israel and with you as I'm doing with this clay. You just got to trust me." And it's like God is saying, "You got blindfolds on, but it's for a purpose. So you stay out of my way and let me be the potter, you be the clay." And so God presses him down, and later on, he's going to bring him out of that cistern or out of that well. And his words are going to be so powerful that he's going to record it and chronicle it in the Word of God, so that 2,000 years later, people are still talking about Jeremiah. I mean, to tell you, if your name were just mentioned in the Bible, whoo, I arrived. But no, God chronicles and dedicates not one, two books to this man. The book of Jeremiah, the book of Lamentations. And I think, wow, God must have really thought much about Jeremiah. And he gives that lesson through Jeremiah to you and to me, that we are the same, that God may sometimes push us down and then bring us back up. So I want to talk a little bit about the God who tears down. You'll see that all the way through the scriptures in different metaphors, how God will have to sometimes almost painfully pause and dig stuff out of us and then push us back down. So we're losing time. No, 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 no. You're gaining character. We're losing hours. No, you're gaining eternity. We're losing money. No, you're gaining your future when I'm in control. And so we've got to press into the one who is the potter. You see the metaphor of the shepherd in Psalm 23. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, not just the staff, but the rod. What? Oh, you see, the staff is one that is a long stick with a crooked end to it. And he would use that to lay on the shoulders of sheep to just keep the lambs near him as he's walking from pasture to pasture. It was a sign of comfort, of belonging, of value. And when a little lamb would slip down a slope, he would use that crooked end to actually reach down and save, bring rescue to that lamb. So this was a sign of value, of camaraderie, of companionship, and of rescue. It's a very loved kind of implement. But the other was like a long walking stick. They called it a rod. A rod wasn't only used as a weapon to ward off predators, but it was also something to be used when the shepherd saw the sheep doing something they're not supposed to do. And he was very adept at this, to use it as a spear. You see, there's a portion of the 23rd Psalm that says, he goes before me and prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. What that means is before the shepherd would take the sheep into the next pasture land, he would actually go and prepare a table, as it were. He would go and look for toxic plants, hemlock, loco weed, different things, and he would actually remove it, preparing a place for the sheep to come and forage. And so he would prepare that, and then he would bring the sheep into that. He prepares a table before me. It's a beautiful, beautiful platitude, as it were. But if sometime during their eating, he would see that he missed a hemlock or he missed another toxic weed and a sheep or a lamb was about to eat it, he couldn't run there fast enough. And so he would take that rod, being very adept at it, and he would kind of swiftly just whip that thing through the air, and that rod would go like a spear and wham on the side of the sheep just before that sheep would eat that toxic weed, hit him in the rib, bah, and he'd boing off to, you know, lick his wounds. And although it was painful, it saved his life. Although it was painful, it gave him another day. And there's going to be times when God tears down. It's not going to be fun. But if you know that he is the potter and we're the clay, and you gave your life to him and you made him your Lord and Savior, and you're leaning fully on his promises, he will not let you fall. Amen. Even though at times it's not fun and you got a t-shirt around your eyes, God says, you trust me. You trust me. I'm going to have my son Aaron come up and share a little bit about this, about a God who tears down. Now, I've known this boy for a long time. He was born very close to his mother. And when he was young, he was very cute. Yeah, but something happens along the way. He gets uglier and uglier and uglier. But he's down here at Cub Scouts, and there he is at our church. And then he grew up, and he just the ugliest thing. I don't know who he resembles, but that poor thing, we need to pray for him. Would you welcome Pastor Aaron as he comes up?
Well, that's where we're going to have to leave you for the day. We'll pick it up right there tomorrow with a few minutes of Aaron Cordero, Pastor Wayne's son. I think you'll enjoy getting some behind-the-scenes look on the Cordero household from Aaron's perspective. Don't miss tomorrow's program. Until then, remember what Pastor Wayne said.
And Jeremiah could not understand what God was doing. But you know, now that we look back, we see that God had taken Israel into bondage and then would bring them back as a people of God, and things would change. But sometimes God has to tear us down so that he can build us back up.
Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. For Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.